Today on Adventures in Faith with Jerry Savelle.
When you walk out of here, you should have faith for a 2024 being a year of progression, advancement, promotion, and your highest expectations being fulfilled. Why? Because that's what we're preaching about. That's what we're preaching about. And if you're hearing it, then faith is arising, praise God. And faith and focus go hand in hand. Amen. By your words, Psalm 119, 105, the Message translation says, by your words, I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path. The Passion translation, once again, your word guides me in my choices and my decisions. The revelation of your word makes my path clear. Amen. Always allow God's word to be final authority. Be like the centurion who told Jesus about his servant being grievously tormented. And this is where we pick up the story in Matthew chapter 8, if you go there with me. Matthew chapter 8, allowing the word to be final authority in your life. Let's begin reading in verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. If you haven't underlined that or highlighted it, do it right now. So every time you pass by Matthew 8, it just jumps out at you. Speak the word only. Say that with me. Speak the word only. Then he said, I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Now, what he's saying is, I recognize authority because I am a man with authority and I am a man under authority. I also recognize authoritative words. He says, when I say to a man, go, he goes, just because of the word that comes out of my mouth. My words carry authority. When I tell a man to come, he comes because my words carry authority. When I tell a man to do this, he does it because my words carry authority. That's the reason why he said to Jesus, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed, because he recognized that Jesus' words carried authority. And the Bible says in the next verse, Jesus marveled at this man's faith. He said, I'm not seeing faith like this, not even in Israel. In other words, what he's saying is, where I should have been seeing faith like this was in God's people. Now, this is a Roman centurion. The Jews considered them, Gentiles, dogs, lower than a dog, you know. And yet a Gentile who didn't have a covenant with God had more faith than God's people did because he recognized authority. He recognized the power in authoritative words. And that's why he said, speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. And as the story, as you continue reading the story, that's exactly what happened. Now, that's the same thing that happened with Mary when the angel appeared to her and said that she would have a child without the aid of a man. And she was puzzled by that at first. And then she made this statement, be it unto me according to your word. In other words, I'm going to let the word be final authority. And the Bible goes on to say, and eventually the Bible says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So she accepted the word as being final authority. Even though in the natural, it's impossible to have a child. It's impossible to conceive without the aid of a man. The man carries the seed. And yet she said, be it unto me according to your word. In other words, I'm going to allow the Word of God to be final authority. And that's exactly what happened in giving birth to Jesus. Amen? Now, the Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hearing by the Word of God. Faith is grown by hearing and consistently hearing the Word of God. It didn't say faith came by having heard. It says faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. That's one of the great things that God has done for our generation, is the ability to record the messages where you can hear them again and again and again. Amen? I carry in my Bible briefcase, and you've heard me say this before, a little iPod that I have sermons that I heard Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Oral Roberts, T.L. Osborne, John Osteen, and Fred Price preach when I first started. And I still carry them with me today. And there's hardly a day goes by, particularly when I'm traveling, that I'm not listening to a Kenneth Hagin message. And I can preach it word for word. I know where he's going with this. I know all the stories. I've listened so much to Kenneth Hagin, I feel like I was born in McKinney, Texas. But I never get tired of hearing them. And especially when I'm getting ready to go into a meeting where we're believing God for a move of the Holy Spirit, that's what I'll do in my room while I'm praying in the Spirit and while I'm going over my notes and walking the floor and just praying. I got somebody preaching faith to me in the background. Amen. I charge the atmosphere in my room with faith. Because I don't know what was going on in that room before I got there. And I don't know what kind of people were in there before I got there. And I don't know what kind of conversation were going on before I got there. So that's how I clear the atmosphere, is I turn on that little iPod and let Kenneth Hagin preach, or Oral Roberts preach, or John Osteen preach, or Kenneth Copeland preach, and just clear the atmosphere, praise God. Amen. And by the time I get ready to go to the service, when I leave that room, I'm ready. I'm ready. My faith is high, hallelujah. I'm expecting God to do something. Glory to God. Amen. So faith cometh by hearing and hearing, consistently hearing. Now, let's look at an example in Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. In verse 8, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. And the same heard Paul speak. Now, what was Paul speaking? He wasn't talking about 3 points in a poem he found out of Reader's Digest. He was speaking the Word. Paul himself said, we preach the word of faith. So he's preaching the word of faith. And the man is sitting there listening to him. It says, the same heard Paul speak, and who steadfastly beholding him, speaking of Paul, beholding this man, he perceived that he had faith to be healed. Where did he get this faith to be healed? By hearing Paul preach. Amen. That's what should happen in every service here. Because we don't have people that stand behind this pulpit that don't preach faith. Amen. If we invite somebody to stand in this pulpit, we know that they are preachers of faith. Amen. We don't have unbelief come out of this pulpit. We don't have religious tradition come out of this pulpit. It's faith, 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 faith. Hallelujah. That's what we do here. It's what we do, man. It's what we do. We preach faith. And it should be that when you walk out of here, you have faith for. He had faith to be healed. When you walk out of here, you should have faith for a 2024 being a year of progression, advancement, promotion, and your highest expectations being fulfilled. Why? Because that's what we're preaching about. That's what we're preaching about. And if you're hearing it, then faith is arising, praise God. And faith and focus go hand in hand. Faith and focus go hand in hand. So once again, notice this man heard Paul preach the word of faith. Paul perceived that he had faith to be healed. And then he told the man, stand up and upright on your feet. And he leaped and he walked. Notice, faith came by hearing. Amen. The word of faith. And the results came as a result of it. Or the healing came as a result of it. So notice the man had faith as received faith as Paul was preaching. That's what I'm believing is going to happen to you today as I'm sharing with you the power of focus, is that faith will come and that you will become completely focused on what God has told us about what He wants our 2024 to be like. Now, Psalm 119:130 says this, the entrance of thy word giveth light. The entrance of your word giveth light. The Passion Translation says, break open your word within me until revelation light, until revelation light shines out those, listen to this, those with open hearts are given insight into your plans. Those with open hearts are given insights into your plans. Are there any open hearts in the building today? Then expect to receive insight into His plans. Hallelujah. That's what I'm endeavoring to bring out. Hallelujah. So, if you have an open heart, then you ought to be in a shouting mode. Because God is going to open His plans to you, praise God. Don't waste your time focusing on what you don't want. Spend your time focusing on what you do want. Anybody want what God wants for you? Then that's what you should be focusing on. Focus on what He says you can do. Focus on what He says you can be. And focus on what He says you can have. Dare to look ahead and then expect God to make it happen for you. Dare to look ahead and then expect God to make it happen for you. That's, you've heard me use this example before. But each time that we have outgrown the aircraft that God has supplied for the ministry, and we start believing for our next one, then one of the first things I do is I sow the one I'm flying at the time into another ministry. Find another ministry that's the airplane that meets their need. Okay, and sow it into their ministry. And I'd love to say, and the moment I sow it, zowie, my next airplane showed up in the hangar without us even knowing it. No, that's not the way it's been. Most of the time, it's been days, weeks, months, even years before the next one manifested. But what I do is, the one I believe that God wants me to have, I have a model made of it. I even paint the end number on the tail that I want when I get it. Sometimes I even have them paint a little character in the window, and that's me. And I set that model on my desk right in front of me. Whenever I go into my office, I've got that model sitting there. And I lay my hands on it, and I thank God for it. What am I doing? I'm focusing, because faith and focus go hand in hand. Faith and focus go hand in hand. I'm focusing on what I'm believing for. I'm not focusing what I don't have. I'm focusing on what I'm believing for. Amen. And then once that airplane manifests and I fly it for however long, sometimes a year, sometimes 10 years, one airplane I flew for 12 years before I sewed it into another ministry. And once I start the next aviation project, then I take that model and I put it on a shelf in my office along with all the other models that have manifested over the years. Okay? As a testimony. Amen. I've had preachers come to my office and they say, what are all these model airplanes for, brother? I said, that's the first one I believe for. That's the second one I believe for. That's the third one I believe for. That's the fourth one I believe for. And the one that's on my desk is what I'm believing for now. Amen. Notice how important focus is. You know, Terry, my daughter Terry, teaches people about vision board. Vision board. That shouldn't be something that is new to the body of Christ. God's been talking about that in His Word for thousands of years. Write the vision. Make it plain. So when you read it, you run with it. Hallelujah. Motivation. And it's to keep you focused. Write the vision. Make it plain. Somebody said, well, I've tried that and it's never worked for me. No. Why it didn't work for you is because you gave up on it.
Come on.
Let me try this out of the auditorium. The reason it didn't work for you is you gave up on it. But you're not that people. I said, you're not that people. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. I believe that one of the major reasons that people give up so quickly is simply because they lose focus. I'll say it again. Focus is the vehicle that will take you to where God wants you to go. It's the vehicle that will take you to where God wants you to go. In your studying the Bible, let me just give you a suggestion. Make note of the various times that God uses the words see and look. See and look. Because most of the time when God says see or look, it is a reference to Him endeavoring to get His people focused on something that He desires for them to experience. An example, Genesis chapter 13. Go there with me. Genesis chapter 13. Everybody still here? Are you receiving?
Yes.
Genesis chapter 13. And let's look at verse 14. And God said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up thine eyes and look. Everybody say, look.
Look.
He says, look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, notice in these two verses, both those words are found. Look and see. Look and see. Say it with me. Look and see. What is God telling Abraham? I'm endeavoring to create a vision for you that I need for you to focus on. Look from beyond where you are right now. Now, that's probably one of the hardest things for people to do, is get past where they are right now. Because where they are right now tries to restrain them and hold them back. You know, maybe you didn't have as good a 2023 as you would have liked to have had. And you're still, you know, a little disappointed about that. And maybe a little upset with God that things didn't happen. Paul said, leaving those things which are behind. So one of the hardest things for a lot of people to do is to look beyond where they are right now.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So notice he says, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are now. So look at somebody and tell them, step one, to experiencing God's best for 2024 is look beyond where you are now. There's more in store. Go for it. Amen. Hallelujah. So notice, look and see. That's just one of the examples. But you take the time in your personal Bible study and look up various times where the words look and see are used by God, because usually He's endeavoring to get a vision planted in them so that they will become focused and will eventually reach it. I heard one preacher say one time, and I can't improve on it, so I'll just borrow it. He said, the problem with most Christians is that they are nearsighted. They can't see beyond where they are right now. They're nearsighted. Some even say, this is how it's going to be for the rest of my life. Or it looks like I'm stuck here forever. Or who am I to think that this could happen to me? See, they can't look beyond where they are right now. If God says you can be something, then you can be that. If God says you can do something, then you can do it. If God says you can have something, then you can have it. So stop settling for less than God's best because of nearsightedness. As in the story of Abraham that we just read, we didn't take the time to read the whole story, but if you do read the whole story, then you'll notice that what God promised him did not come without confrontation, did not come without distractions, and it didn't come easy. But remaining focused made the difference. Amen. And to help Abraham remain focused, God constantly reminded him of his covenant. Amen. When Satan attempts to distract us, God will always lead us back to what he's promised. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13 through 15, when God made his promise to Abraham, he backed it. This is the Message translation. He backed it to the hilt, putting his own reputation on the line. He said, I promise I'll bless you with everything I have. Bless and bless and bless. Abraham stuck it out. Everybody say, stuck it out. I added in my notes, remained focused. And he got everything that had been promised to him. He stuck it out. He remained focused and he got everything that had been promised to him. And if you look back at verse 12 in Hebrews chapter 6, it tells us to be followers of them who through faith and patience, and I added this, remain focused, inherit the promises. Follow those who through faith and patience and remain focused, inherit the promises. The Message translation says, be like those who stayed the course, and I added, remained focused, with committed faith, and then get everything promised to them. So that shows us just how powerful focus is. Remaining focused. Amen. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17, the Apostle Paul says, the just shall live by faith. It's repeated in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. The just shall live by faith. And obviously, the life of faith requires discipline. And being focused is one of the major characteristics of being disciplined. A disciplined life. A focused life. So you could say once again that faith and focus go hand in hand. And Paul, being the one who's teaching us on the subject of faith here in Romans, and most authorities say that they believe that Paul also wrote the book of Hebrews. So he's talking about faith, and probably no other author in the Bible talked more about faith than Jesus himself. And Paul says that being focused demands that we get to the place in our lives that we can say in the midst of any and all adversity, none of these things move me. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. None of these things move me. No matter what came Paul's way, he remained focused, and he declares this by saying, I will finish my course. I will finish my course. And at the end of his life, he said, I have finished my course. I kept the faith. So he remained focused throughout his ministry, and nobody has ever had more reasons to lose focus than the Apostle Paul.
Are life's demands distracting you from your true potential? It's time to filter out the noise and live with clear determination. When you order today's exclusive offer, the Power of Focus Special Package, you'll receive Jerry's inspiring book, Thoughts, The Battle Between Your Ears, and his eye-opening three-part audio series, What It Takes to Stay Focused. In this package, you'll discover how to control negative thoughts, the link between thoughts and actions, secrets to living by divine precision, and steps to align your focus with God's plan. Seize this opportunity to refocus your life and begin living with a clear and dedicated vision. Act quickly. Call or go online now to jerrysavelle.org and and request your copy of the Power of Focus Special Package. Your journey to a life of divine clarity and purpose starts now. Embrace the power of focus today.
I trust you were blessed by our lesson today, and if you were, please continue to join with us. Our desire is to teach you principles from God's Word that will help you experience God's best in your life. You know, God wants you to be a winner in every area of your life. He wants you to win in your marriage. He wants you to win in your health. He wants you to win in your finances. And one of the ways that you do that is by spending quality time in God's Word and then stay focused on what it says. Don't allow Satan to distract you. You can be the winner that God wants you to be if you learn the principle of how to stay focused. God has given us promises, and those promises are designed by Him to lead you on the right path to His best for your life. So let me encourage you to continue watching as we share with you the power of focus. And if you'd like to, check with our website and go to jerrysavelle.org for these special resources, What It Takes to Stay Focused, 3 CDs teaching on this subject. And I had a whole lot more time than I'm able to share with you on the broadcast to teach these principles. And I know once you begin to listen to these messages, it will certainly inspire you and teach you how to stay focused on what God has promised. Right along with it, a little book I wrote a number of years ago, Thoughts, The Battle Between Your Ears. That's where your greatest battles are fought, right between your ears, in your mind. Paul says that everything that is contrary to what God's Word says, we must cast it down. Learn how to cast down negative thoughts and learn how to think God's thoughts. And it'll position you to experience everything that He wants you to have. So if you'd like to have these resources, once again, go to jerrysavelle.org. All the ordering information is on your screen right now. Place your order so that we can get it to you just as quickly as we possibly can. Join with me again next time, and we look forward to sharing God's Word with you. And in the meantime, don't ever forget, your faith will overcome the world. You know, we have many viewers, and we don't know if all of them have received Jesus as the Lord of their life. And if you're one of them, it's very easy. You don't have to become so religious. You don't have to, you know, change everything about yourself. All you need to do is invite Jesus into your life. The Bible says if you believe in your heart that He is Lord and God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Why don't you do that right now? Just say, Jesus, come into my life. I'll accept You as Lord. And also, go to our website, jerrysavelle.org, and download this little book entitled, You're Somebody Special to God. It will help you on your new walk with God, and I pray in Jesus' name that it'll be the greatest decision that you've ever made.